Welcome back to A Fresh Story, the podcast where we have conversations about brave decisions to start over again. I'm Olivia.
And I'm Jenny. And we're so glad you're here today, brave one.
Hello, hello, Jenny.
Hi there.
So we have a special episode for you today. We like to, you know, as we plan out the season and we're trying to kind of figure out the balance of guests and stories, we also like to share our stories. And, you know, we thought what's something we get a lot of questions about over at Fresh Starts is career changes and job changes. I have kind of become this de facto person in the marketing world right now. I share a lot of job postings over at Yentalist. I do monthly threads on Twitter for people to share their freelance information. We kind of are a little bit pathologically obsessed with helping people find jobs and placing people in jobs. I think that's something we get from our father, maybe.
I have no idea, but it just, you reminded me that I owe an email to somebody. About
I don't know. I feel like, you know, our grandfather, who yesterday was his 100th birthday, was somebody that was incredibly generous with his support of helping people kind of in the legal world of, you know, young lawyers. And he would take them under his wing and really try to help them. And so I think there's a little bit of genetics there, but I think this is also just, again, going back to like who we are and our heart-ledness. Mm-hmm. We love to help people find jobs. But anyway, we thought it'd be fun to kind of take each other down the memory lane of our careers today, because we've had some interesting twists and turns. Yeah. So as the older sister, I will start. You know, we went to the same high school. I had a little bit of a tricky time in high school socially, and I found solace within my studies of Latin.
Well, and I would say it started before that. We went to the same middle school where Latin was mandatory. Our Latin teachers weren't great.
No.
In middle school.
No, I had a horrible Latin teacher for sixth grade. I had somebody for...
You liked your seventh and eighth grade.
Seventh and eighth grade Latin teacher, Mr. Minson, who I'm still friendly with. He was great. And we actually separated the Latin classes. So there was a Latin class A and a Latin class B, and I was in A. And it was the first time I really felt like I could do something really well.
Isn't it so funny what happens if they just tell you that you're in the fast track? Like what that does for you. Yeah. That happened to me with math too.
Yeah. And we actually, you know, I stayed at our very, very small private school through ninth grade. And so my Latin class was me and another girl. And we basically were doing AP Latin in ninth grade. And
my point is that you looked back at your sixth grade Latin teacher, sixth or seventh, and you said, I can do this better.
Yeah, I knew I could teach Latin better. I knew that I really enjoyed Latin. I loved Latin. I loved Roman history, loved classical
history. So you
were
a 13-year-old. Knew what you wanted to do.
And so let me put it this way. For many years, I knew I wanted to teach Latin. I was the Latin tutor in high school, for the high school. And I always love telling this story. I love this story because it just
shows. I hate it because it's upsetting to me.
It's upsetting, but it just shows that whatever. So
it goes along the lines of how I wasn't picked for valedictorian. Right. And then the person that was had laryngitis and couldn't even do their speech.
Well, that's because we call that karma. So, I tutored like everybody in Latin in high school. Mm-hmm. I worked my ass off. I was an A student. I did not always get the highest grades, but I was a very, very good Latin student and obviously incredibly dedicated. When it came time for senior awards, we were all sitting in the big auditorium with our parents around us, and the Latin award came up, and I got up to accept it before they said my name, and it was not me. And it was the girl that took the guy I wanted to go to prom with, by the way, who won it. Ben Ryan.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So
shout out to Ben Ryan.
Shout out to Ben Ryan.
A real one.
Yep.
We both love Ben Ryan.
Who also had a heart problem.
Who doesn't love Ben Ryan?
Who doesn't love Ben Ryan? And so that was a little traumatizing, but I got through it. And so I went to Drew University and I majored in Latin. in classical studies, the classical studies department at Drew was about six people. Shout out to Cleo, who went through the whole journey with me. And
who might actually be listening to this.
We love you, Cleo. And so my department head was my advisor. It was an incredibly small program. The thing with Latin that people don't really talk about is that you don't speak Latin, really. You read Latin, you study Latin. And so for me, Latin was encompassed really like my love of poetry.
It was complet is right, what you were doing, right, basically. Right. Yes, yeah, so you were doing comparative
and,
literature.
You know, did a lot of studying about art history, classical mm-hmm. studies, all of those. Now, that being said, Drew University at the time did not have an education degree. And mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to teach it, but I didn't really know I wanted to teach Latin. So I wasn't until my senior year at Drew, when I became the house advisor, that I really fell into my love of education mm-hmm. and you know, doing bulletin boards
mostly the bulletin boards.
And so I graduated college. I took a year off. I did a lot of community service. I did mm-hmm. some stuff with the family and really tried.
We redid our bedrooms.
I did. I really tried to figure out my next move, and I remember I called into a psychic on the phone, and I got through his radio show, and he said, "You're going to teach," and I was like, "I don't know." I was like, "I don't really want to teach. I don't know." Now, nobody like taught us how to apply to jobs. Like that was like not a thing. Like, no, yeah, like, we had no idea.
The idea that we would have to work was like we knew that it was real, but like. It was kind of like, I don't know how to get there.
So it was like I graduated May of 2007.
Yeah.
So the next May, 2000, I would say the next like March, 2008, I started sending just like letters to private schools around here that said like, I'm interested in teaching. I didn't really know what I wanted to teach, to be honest with you. I actually really wanted to teach English. But I knew that was a really competitive, but I didn't have a education degree, so I couldn't teach at public school.
Right. In New York, you can teach at a private school without an education degree, but not a public school.
Our the private school that we went to, this the first private school, the small one, actually reached out to me and said, "Hey, why don't you come sub for us?" And so I subbed mm-hmm. for a bunch of months. I loved it. I loved being back at the school. Mm-hmm. And then I remember I was in my bedroom. It was like May, I guess 2008, and I got a call from my prior English teacher at the school, who was now the administrator, and he said, "Hey, AC," and he said, "Hey, we have a position open for you. Would you like it?" And I said yes, without even knowing what it was. And he said, "Latin teacher's leaving," and it was one of those moments that I completely manifested in my life.
Yeah.
And I remember calling my then boyfriend at the time, and I was like, "Oh my God, like they just called to see if
we can name Jeff. We love Jeff."
And I said to Jeff, "He is a real guy. He's not a George Glass. That's a
brand." No, I just mean he's like, he's like OG. We love Jeff.
I said, "You know, oh my God, they just called me for a Latin position." And he was like, "What?" Like, it was so unbelievable because it was something that I'd wanted and like of all the things. So I ended up teaching, and I was 23. I had no prior classroom experience.
Like 4'11 and 3/4.
Right. No experience. I actually taught in my old sixth grade ancient history teacher's room, who became a mentor of mine and passed away the next year. And I inherited Marsha's all of her things, and she still watches over me, I know. And that was very monumental. I remember, this is so cheesy, that the kids in school that year did The Lion King, and they sang The Circle of Life, and I was like crying in the back of the gym.
Who like, doesn't cry during a middle school production, though? You put me in a gymnasium with middle schoolers, and I'm gonna cry. Like,
really loved teaching.
We loved setting up your room. We like did that together.
I loved all my students.
You did,
I was, you know, that teacher that kids would come to talk about life issues. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, the youngest teacher at the school at the time. And mm-hmm. it was like, you know, really this heyday of like this amazing time.
Where you met
time.
Lisa, who's like Lisa, still one of your really good friends.
And it was a wonderful experience. And I taught from 2008 to 2000. So in 2013, so essentially what happened was this: the administrator at the school, the headmaster, was a wonderful person that I got along with beautifully. Mm-hmm. And we actually did the eighth grade Boston trip together. I had a blast. He was from Boston and he was, you know, an older man and really like old school Boston type. And we had a great relationship. And I got pregnant with Weston in 2012. And at the same time, he announced that he was leaving the school. Right. And interestingly enough, the man that ended up taking over was my first boss from camp when I was a mm-hmm. camp counselor back mm-hmm. in the day. It's a small world. Long Island is really small. And I remember going into him and you know, before he took over, he had these open office hours and I went in and I was like, hey, I'm taking off September, October, November of next year. I just wanted to introduce myself. And so what ended up happening was I had Weston in August. I went back to school and Jenny watched Weston and with my parents at my parents' house. And I would drop him off, you know, at 7 o'clock in the morning and mm-hmm. Jenny would take him and she'd be with him. And my mom and stepdad were here, you know, obviously too, until three. And then mm-hmm. I would come home and I would.
Right. Except for the days that you had
bus duty at four. Right.
At four, which was something that you'd been given 7 years prior when you started and should have had right. the flexibility to change.
And that school was really historically very parent friendly, right? Mm-hmm. So they let people bring their kids to school. They had a 2-year-old program that would have been free for Weston right. to go to,
which you would have been great.
They were and I'm gonna just be very honest, I was making $32,000 a year there teaching
and helping run the school play and going on overnight
trips. Teaching Latin by the time I left, I was teaching Latin, sixth grade history, English, drama, doing the play, doing mm-hmm. the field trips, doing the whole thing, and study halls. We didn't lunch. We were on all day. Right. We like didn't get a break. And
you
so
didn't have a break, no.
Private school is a very different experience.
Yeah.
So I went back in November. It was actually just this week. I went back right after Thanksgiving, and I was mm-hmm. heartbroken to go back and leave my kid. Mm-hmm. But I did love teaching, so I really, really wanted to make it work.
Yeah.
And I think I went back probably 2 months and I was like, this is not going to work. Like, this is not going to work. And so I started picking up freelance writing jobs. I started working for Rookie Moms, making $25 a blog post. Mm-hmm. And then when it came time to renew my contract, I got my contract and it said you would be doing the overnight field trip and 4 o'clock bus duty. And I went into him and I said, thank you so much for this contract. Unfortunately, I can't do the overnight field trip because I have a new baby and I really would like to do 3 o'clock bus duty. It's not going to make a big difference, right? So I can be home an hour
earlier. Swap me with somebody else. Yeah.
Right. And he looked at me and he goes, noted. And then I was like, okay. And then I got my contract again and nothing had changed. And I went home and I said to my now ex-husband, who was very supportive at the time. And I said, I can't do this. And I remember just like hysterically screaming, saying like, I will sell everything we have so I can just stay home with my kid and figure something else out. At the time. So, you know, kind of overlapping all of that. And I just want to back up for a second, like throughout my career as a person, right? So since I was 15, I was doing marketing for various things, right? Marketing for the mm-hmm. local ice cream shop, marketing for family and friends. We've had many companies, which we'll talk about, mm-hmm. you know, so I knew that we'll talk about limiting beliefs. Okay. I knew I always wanted to be in marketing. I knew I'd be really, really good at marketing. Mm-hmm. I did not want to work at an agency. And mm-hmm. back 25 years ago, there was no options for freelance, right? The internet wasn't the thing it was.
No.
Your only option to go work in advertising was to work at a big agency in New York City. And I did not want to do that. The other thing I really, really wanted to do, which we're kind of finding ourselves into now, is I really wanted to work in children's television programming. And there was.
Do you feel like you're finding your way into children's television?
No, but this fills the need.
Something I don't know
this
about.
This feels like it was like production. Like I wanted to get into production. And there was an internship that Drew University had access to at Jim Henson Studios. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to do it because I didn't want to go into New York City.
Which is a lot of limiting beliefs. Like you are so capable of that, and you've never felt like you and I were like bringing Colin into the city when we were like 14 and 16.
I mean, I
like we've always been, you know, capable of that. You were going down to DC, you were going up to Syracuse. You totally were capable of that.
Yeah.
But you definitely have this idea, these limiting beliefs around yourself about that. And I get like also not wanting to do it. I can
No, it was just interesting years, so. When you think about the things that like you really did, your soul was telling you like, I really did want to do this, right?
You want to talk about limiting beliefs. Like I wanted so badly to pursue pottery in college, but I was so scared I wouldn't know where the building was. It was New York City. I could have found it. Like, but I was just so like intimidated by like, well, what do I need? How do I know what I need? Will they tell me what I need? And I just didn't go there.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I'm glad there was other things that I did that were like a little less on
that's
that.
Gonna
like,
fill your soul for the pottery now.
I really one day want to have like a wheel in my house.
That's really beautiful.
Thank you. I dug deep for that one.
Okay. So I left teaching. I remember I have a picture of myself smiling so happy. I left teaching June that year and I was working. I think I was making like $100 a month at all the different freelance writing jobs. And I marched into the local gluten-free market here, which with Jennifer. Jennifer's now a Fresh Starts expert. We love Jennifer. And I said, hey, I knew her because I had shopped at the market. And this was when Facebook was the predominant social media platform. I said, Jennifer, I will do your Facebook for free for a month. And I will, you know, just to show you how it goes. And she said, okay. She took a, you know, these people in your lives that take risks on you, like take gambles
chance
on you,
on you.
And chance on you. And there's a few women that have done that really have changed my life. And so I started doing her Facebook, and I would bring Weston with me. I would take pictures of him with the gluten-free food, and I would create graphics with a pick monkey and you know, all these and Photoshop. I would, because we did learn how to use Photoshop in high school, thank God. And she was my first client, and then, you know, how the universe does things. I and a friend of mine wanted to start a book club for moms who were educators. And so I happened to go to Book Review and pull a book off the shelf that was called Parent Fatigue Syndrome, that I thought was about being tired, but it was actually about how parents are overworked and burnt out. And we were going to have this book club.
You didn't know it would be your future.
No. And exactly. And my friend that I was working with invited another friend of hers who was a lawyer, Randy. Randy came to the book club meeting and goes, oh, you do social media? My law firm needs social media. She hired me on the spot. And then I turned the book over, and the author was from Long Island. We invited her to the book club, and she hired me to do her events and her marketing. And so I had an agency before I had a website, and it really took off from there. And I taught myself everything about social media and marketing and Instagram. And it was amazing. And I loved it. And I would work, you know, at night while Weston slept. And during the day, I would try to get new clients and, you know, just really taught myself everything. And then the other person who really changed the course of my career was Monica Banks, who was another local mom. And she was also in marketing. And she reached out to me because she was working for a baby company that needed reviews. And I'd started doing reviews for her. And then she hired me to do blog posts and manage the Twitter for Goo Goo Guru. And then I became second in command there and learned everything I know, like big time, from working with Monica. And that's where I got my chance to work with celebrities. We used to seed products for celebrity baby showers, and I worked with celebrities on their baby registries. That's where I learned all the influencer world, which then feeded into, and again, worked with fed. Then, you know, another woman. And again, this just, and this is why Jenny and I are so passionate about helping people, because we've had people who've been like, okay, so like another example, like Jordan Reed was a longtime blogger friend of ours. And I reached out to Jordan many years ago. I said, hey, you could be doing XYZ with your platform. And she goes, well, how much would you charge to manage all this stuff? And I told her, I started working for her. Her influencer agency decided to not continue her contract. And she called me and said, do you want to manage me? And I learned how to do influencer management. I ended up managing over 20 influencers who were big time influencers over the, you know, a course of 4 years. Taught myself public relations, you know, so I just always followed my intuition and kind of always said yes.
It's funny for somebody that has so many such limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
You also have so many, like, you just do stuff and like, mm-hmm. you're like not afraid to be like, yeah, I do that. Or yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
Or like, and I think in a way that like, I sometimes like cringe when you say that, because I'm like, we don't know how to do that. But then I just trust you because like, we always figure it out. And it's funny, cause like you've bring it back, like you've been on a train at 15, taking Colin into the city. I'm not going to say taking me because I was with you there.
I mean, I taught myself many
like,
cities.
My point is like, you did that so many mm-hmm. times, but then if you said to you, do you want to go into the city? You'd be like, no, I don't know how to do that. That's too scary. Right. Whereas you'd be like, do you want to negotiate a contract for like this person? You'd be like, yeah, I can do that, if you've never done it. So it's funny. I guess the common thing I'm seeing is if you have to leave your house or not.
I hate leaving the house. And I mean, we managed influencers. We worked with thousands of dollars with Chase Bank, with
Domino's.
We worked with Goo Goo Guru and Taco Bell. Yeah. But you know, I'm trying to think, what's the parade? The Orange Bowl, we did influencer stuff for, you know, so we did a ton of stuff there. And mm-hmm. I believe, you know, look, producing a podcast, like I can do all these things and I love to do all these things.
Yeah, you're very capable. And it's amazing to me how capable you are.
I love media. I love media. Yeah. I love the connections of media.
It's funny because the first place that I ever felt like I was home in a work kind of way was when I was on a movie set with my friends in college. And I was mm-hmm. like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Yeah. Casting.
Yeah. And you're very good at that.
And producing. And mm-hmm. so I found my way. We'll get to that. But like, yeah. I just think that's funny. Like we both feel very comfortable in a media.
I do. I love media. And, you know, and so anyway, so we have obviously had the agency for 10 years and Jenny came on board in 2020 mm-hmm. and, raised our client base by 200%, I think, mm-hmm. right?
We doubled it.
Doubled our clients. We have worked with global companies and food companies, and I think it really, going back to Magalie's episode, just saying yes, right? You just got to say yes. I mean, I remember when our friend Iza called us and said, "Hey, I'm putting a pitch in for a television show. They need a social media lead." I'd never mm-hmm. worked on television for social media. And that led me to incredible opportunities. Another one of
Katie
my
Kirk's
friends,
apartment. Right. Led you to be in Katie Kirk's apartment, which is like a very cool experience.
And at the time I had no idea what people charged, right? So I was charging, undercharging. And then another dear friend, Amandine, you know, she said, I put you in. You know, a lot of this stuff again is people shouting your name when you're not in the room. You know, and she said, I put you in for, I'm doing email management for a new company. I put you in to do the social media and I doubled your price for you.
Yeah.
She said, I doubled your price. And from there, that completely changed my business. Right. So, you know,
that was something that we talked about when I came on too.
Yeah.
You say like, I knocked my microphone. We made up the client list by 200%, but we also upped your prices to be like market rate, you know, so that wasn't like you're getting paid like $15.
And that's like, I guess why when I say like, we're going to change the world with Fresh Starts, we are already a household name and we're going to continue becoming a household name and have this big empire of Fresh Starts and all the things we want to do. I know it's going to happen because I've done all these things that I didn't even know was possible that could happen.
You know, Olivia and I are just not people that are capable of like,
settling.
I don't know, settling. Yeah, apparently not.
And I think that we also are really proud to like show people like you can mm-hmm. make a life like this.
There's
like,
an alternative way. Yeah.
And I'm like a really big fan of like, let's talk about what skill set you have and how can you make mm-hmm. money from it, you know, because everybody has the ability to make money from what they're doing. And I'm starting life coaching certification in February mm-hmm. with 7 different modalities and with Julie Costa's Anchored program, which I'm going to be honest, a little nervous about. I haven't gone back to school ever. I have my bachelor's and that's it. I don't have any degree in marketing. And that's the other thing I always remind people. Like I taught for 8 years without a degree in education. I became a marketing expert without going to any marketing school whatsoever. So anything's possible. Like truly anything is possible.
Yeah, you know, 100%. Yeah. Anything is possible.
Yeah. Are you an expert that supports people going through life changes? Are you passionate about helping people live their best lives? Are you ready to reach bigger audiences, new clients, expand your digital footprint, and get your name in the press? If you answered yes to any of the above, it's time to join the Fresh Starts Expert Community. The Fresh Starts Expert Community is here to support you as an expert so that you can reach the clients that need you when they need you. Membership in the Fresh Starts Expert Community fully supports you in establishing your brand as an expert, building your digital footprint, and bolstering your online presence. For only $37 a month, monthly membership in the Fresh Starts Expert Community includes a standalone profile on a platform that reaches thousands of people a month, exclusive workshops, seminars, support in social media, marketing, business development, and even public relations. Yep, monthly membership includes PR support to get your name as an expert into the world. Head to freshstartsregistry.com today and apply to become an expert and join the only community of support experts changing the world today. Use code FRESH23 for your first month free. That's code FRESH23 for your first month of membership in the Fresh Starts Expert Community free. We have always been entrepreneurs, right? Like from the time we were children, mm-hmm. we used to play real estate broker and travel agent for fun. Our grandmother would get us brochures, right? And she would, yeah. and we would sit there and we would have fake, we would have, she would give us old telephones and we would sit there and say, hello, mm-hmm. what do you need?
Where
today?
Do you want to go?
Where yeah. do you want to go? So
now I wish I had a travel agent. I find planning vacations so overwhelming. Yeah.
But anyway, so that's where I am. And I'm, you know, it's amazing to look back and see that, but
I say this for my sister. If you would like to talk about what you're doing in your career, Olivia would love to talk with you, the listener, about that.
Yes, I would.
About where to go. She would love to talk about it and make suggestions. And
always love helping people. And, you know, I will say too, like everything I learned from one job applies to another job, right? Like
that was what Magali was saying in her, yeah. in her episode. And I really like that because, sometimes you get into a job and you feel like the skills don't translate anywhere else. And I can talk about that when I talk about mine, but like nothing is a vacuum. You don't do anything in a vacuum. And I think that was something that was really interesting in conversation of founding Fresh Starts and what that came to be, because when we conceived of the idea, it's very different from what it is now. And I do give major props to Meg O'Neill because she's the one that said to you like, well, you have all these skills. Why are you mm-hmm. not applying them to mm-hmm. your experts? Why are you not helping them with social media? Why are you mm-hmm. not helping them with PR? You've done all this stuff. Why are you like not? And it was like, oh yeah, like these things, social media, graphic design, you know, marketing, PR,
right.
all of that business development is really helpful to our experts. And I think it's something that makes them like, it's a huge draw to becoming a Fresh Starts expert. Yeah. And that was something that we needed somebody else to be like, you yeah. have all these abilities. Why are you not using them?
And again,
them?
That goes back to having that people to shout your name, yeah. you know, shout your name.
Yeah.
So Jenny's had a very interesting career.
So I start from a really different place, right? I start from this place of never knowing what I wanted to do. And like I had alluded to before, sort of knowing I'd have to have a job because we didn't come from a situation. Libby and I are incredibly privileged. Let me say this. We are very lucky girls, private school education, college, like very, very lucky girls. But we still needed to work. Like, it wasn't like, we're not like, you know,
we're not that privileged.
I wish we were. I always knew I had to work. I never knew what I wanted to do. I've always been a person that was really good at, math and science. Mm-hmm. And so I had a lot of people encouraging me to go into engineering, which is funny because I ended up choosing a university that doesn't really have like, that's not known for its engineering department. I went to NYU. That might not be true, by the way, but I did go to NYU. That is true. And I majored in things that were completely useless to like any sort of, career. Well, I majored in religious studies with a minor in Russian. But I was one credit short of being a major in Russian. So I usually just say double majored in religious studies and Russian.
That's what I say about sociology.
But I figured I'd come clean on this year podcast. And then after I graduated, and it was interesting, the religious studies department lead, which it's funny, I chose a huge university and a really small underfunded department to major in. But the lead of the religious studies department used to say that at least once a week, she would get a call from a parent and they'd be like, my child is majoring in religious studies. What the heck are they going to do with this? And she said, well, we're teaching them to read, write, and think. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like I got that from there.
You're a very good writer.
Thank you. So I wanted to be a poet. That was what I wanted to do when I was in college. I have poems about it. They're not very good, but so I'm better now. So anyway, so I graduated, and again, I speak to this as Livy and I are very privileged. Our mother opened her home for both of us, all of us after college, and said, like, she was a really hard worker, our mom in school, and she was exhausted after college. So she recognized how exhausted we would be after college and really was like, take the time. So the thing I chose to do, 2009, graduated into the recession, was be in a bad relationship. And that was what I did for a year. I went to Paris with my dad for New Year's, and I went to Edinburgh with my mom in March, which, thank God, right? Because that's where I met Thomas. But in about May of 2010, I started applying for jobs. And a job came up at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Huntington. It was an office administrator job, you know, 30 hours a week. So it wasn't full time. So they didn't have to give me benefits. And I got it. I went through like a really, really rigorous interview process for such a ridiculous job. And it's funny because like, I was so bad at that job. Like, I was fine, but like, they would be like, we email you things. And like, sometimes you answer and sometimes you don't. And sometimes you do it and sometimes you don't. And I'd be like, well, I can't work in this environment. Like, I just was 23 years old.
I remember coming to visit you there.
I was a mess. I loved working there. It was a really cool place to work. It was mostly volunteer run. I loved the director of religious education. Carolyn was wonderful. And I liked talking. I would just love talking to her.
I think you like doing the events too, right? Like, you like.
I mean, I liked doing like most of the job, but like, it's funny to think about, like, I hated checking the voicemails on the hallway phone and I would put it off until it was a problem. Like, why did I just like was 23. I don't have any excuse except for being 23 and just being an idiot. And I was there for about a year and then I just like didn't want to do it anymore. So I quit, which is like a thing you do when you're 23. I've always been like just a big fan of quitting. And that was 2011, I think. And Olivia said, well, what do you, you know, where I was just kind of hanging out and I didn't know what to do with myself. She said, she was teaching at our middle school. And she said, why don't you come be a sub? And I mean, it was like one of those things where it's, I had gone to that school from when I was 3 until I was 14. So that, like, it would just seemed like the most natural thing. Like, yeah, I'll just come to the school and I'll be a sub. And I got hired as a substitute teacher. I worked, I think I subbed maybe 4 days. And then they said, do you want to come be a long-term sub in the 2-year-old classroom? And so I, from like October until June, was a teacher in the 2-year-old classroom, no education, making $15 an hour. And I was working like between 4 and 8 hours a day, depending on the day. Cause I also did the after school program. So it was like nothing money, but I did that. And then, they did this thing because it was pretty shiesty, where they wouldn't renew your contract until, August. So you kind of didn't know what you were doing all summer. So they reached out to me in August and they said, we're actually hiring for, you know, a second teacher in the 3-year-old classroom, nursery classroom, with Pam, who was my nursery school teacher. She had taught me when I was 3. Now I was teaching with her. And I did that for a year. I did that while we were in school. Hurricane Sandy Hook happened. And then Sandy Hook happened. And the administrator of the early childhood program was an older woman who had been there since long before we had gone and, you know, seen us come up. And she was kind of bizarre. And we had, this is like a defining moment for me. So December, Sandy Hook happens. Olivia's pregnant. We're working at the same school. We're in different buildings.
I was just about to get pregnant, I think. Yeah.
You were maybe just, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how long babies last, but yeah, you think you were pregnant if you're December. Anyway, doesn't matter. She was thinking about whatever. She's my sister and I love her. And I just had this thought. Well, there was twofold. So one was they brought in a security expert to talk to all of us. And the security expert said, this is what you do if there's an active shooter situation. Mm-hmm. One is lock your door. So I raised my hand because we've been asking for a replaced lock on our classroom door mm-hmm. for the entirety of the year. Cause we had this one student that kept making a run for it. And I said, hi, we don't have a lock on our door. So what do you want us to do? And he gave me an answer. And then he said, oh, well, you can take the kids into the bathroom. And I said, great. How do you suggest I quiet 12 3-year-olds mm-hmm. in a bathroom that's not even big enough for two adults? Right. Like, what is your suggestion for that?
Yeah.
And I had parents who were teachers in the school because it was a teachers only meeting. My daughter's going to be in your class next year. And I'm so grateful that you ask these questions because it makes me know that she's going to be with somebody who really is going to try to keep her safe. And I was like, I'm glad. I'm just trying to be the best. And then I got called into the administrator's office and she said, I don't know if you're old enough to be doing this job. I don't know if you're mature enough to be doing this job. You seem really panicked about the active shooter situation that happened at a kindergarten.
Every other school, right?
Yeah. You seem really panicked. We were, by the way, my classroom was windows on one side and a door that didn't lock on the other.
Right.
And I said, no, I'm not panicked. I said, but I went to the school and you taught me that when there's an expert in the room, you ask the expert questions because I'm not too smart to know what the expert knows. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, why would you bring him in?
Yeah.
And she did this to me during the 15 minutes of free time I had, or maybe 30 minutes of free time while the kids were at PE. Mm-hmm. I come back to the room hysterically crying. I was, again, 24, not much older. And I was mortified. Partner this with the fact that she took a liking to touching my tush, like when she would like leave a room, weird, grabbing my necklace from around my neck, weird, trying to pit me against another teacher who we love, Casey, and being like, well, Casey needs the job more than you because Casey's married. And I was like, well, Casey is a husband. I don't, but we love Casey. You can't pit me against Casey. And so it comes to the end of the year and I leave. And I'm just like, okay, well, that is what it is.
Yeah.
And Olivia gives birth to Weston. Mm-hmm. And I thought, and so they called me in August. I remember exactly where I was driving. I was driving by the fish hatchery in Cold Spring Harbor. And they called me and I answered on hands-free, obviously. And they said, you know, we'd like to have you back. And I said, no, I think something better is coming my way. Something more aligned is coming my way. And then I was home with Olivia and Weston from, you know, September, October, November, which was great. About in October, one of my nursery students had become a babysitting client and they reached out to me and told me that they had given my name to another family as a nanny. And did I want to be a nanny? And I was like, okay. So I would be with West. And I think I started that in October and that was only after school. They had four girls. They were like 13, 10 and five twins, 5-year-old twins. But I only got them after school. So it was like, I would be with Weston from Olivia would come over about 7 o'clock in the morning, put him on my chest. I would be with him all morning. And depending, I was only with them like 2 or 3 days a week, the family. So depending on the day, I'd either pass them off to Olivia at 3 or I'd leave at like 2:30, go get the girls off the bus or from school. And I loved it. Honestly, if I could be a nanny now and like make ends meet, I mean, the thing is I'm very good at taking care of people, right?
Yeah, and organizing.
And I loved it. And the mom was, I mean, the parents were amazing. They didn't have much contact with the dad, but like they moved twice while I was with them. And I was only with them from October till July. And they moved like into a temporary place and then into their house. And she would call me and be like, can you just go to the house and wait for the repairman? Yeah. And I would just go and be in their gorgeous house. And like, just, it was wonderful. It was a great thing. Then, well, this was all happening around,
I was going to say, you're missing a huge chunk of what you were doing.
I'm missing a huge chunk of this, which is that in 2011, Olivia got married and they were going to ask a family friend to marry them. But she ended up not being able to make it to the wedding. Olivia and her ex-husband asked me to marry them to officiate their wedding. I had like, at like 2 in the morning in like 2006, like registered as a Universal. A pastor. What's it called? A
life minister.
Yeah, but minister at the Universal Life Church. And so I could do it in New York State. Not New York City yet, but New York State. I could marry them. So I wrote their wedding ceremony, and then Olivia's and I performed it. Olivia's wedding photographer was my RA in college. She came up to me after the ceremony and said, "You need to be doing this professionally." And I was like, "Okay." So I had married Olivia just the night, or like the night after that marriage equality passed in New York.
Yep.
And so Maddie was working with for this still blog called A Practical Wedding that, I mean, Jesus Christ, can I like calm down? Can I ever stop doing things? No. Maddie was working with A Practical Wedding and they had this event called Yay New York where they were going to marry a lesbian couple and a homosexual male couple and do like a joint ceremony, a joint reception for them. So they asked me and I did both those weddings.
You said yes.
And I did both of those weddings. And from there, I booked my first client, who is Carrie Ann, who is now worked for, last checked, worked for Practical Wedding, who was wonderful. And I married her and her lovely husband. And I just started sort of doing that on the side, alongside all of my other stuff. So if I had a wedding that came up that I needed to do while I was teaching, I would take the day off. Like, I just worked it into my schedule. So now you have me in 2014, and I'm doing weddings, and I'm nannying, and I'm taking care of Weston. And I go to London with my dad and my brother and my ex, my then boyfriend. And while I'm in London, I get contacted by a production agency saying that they're producing this TV show. It was like a German or Danish, Swedish TV show that they're bringing to the States. It's called Married at First Sight. And they're looking for a minister
married
for their wedding.
Married at First Sight, in case anybody married knows the sight. First show.
And so I, again, I'm paid because I wanted to do it so badly. But like, it was this moment where, because most of my weddings were smaller, they were more like elopement style weddings that were really very much about the couple and the marriage and the love.
At the time, wedding officiant, like you were doing, was not a thing.
It was not a thing. It was me and like old men and like failed actors. Like that was it.
And our friend Jesse.
And our friend Jesse, exactly. And our friend Jesse. And like, there was no other, like now you look around and there's like young women that are officiants.
Yeah.
There was nobody else. And I would have people say the rudest stuff to me. Why did you get this job? Why would they hire you? And I just, my thing was like, I'm like the friend that you know isn't going to get drunk at the wedding, but like, I'm kind of,
you did the job. You did, you know, yeah.
Exactly. Like if you want a friend to marry you, but you don't have that friend, I'm your friend. And so they asked me to do it. I remember they asked for my social security and I was like, my dad was like, you don't have to give them that. They're not paying you. They don't need that information. But it ended up like what ended up happening was that I made my ex drive me into the city because I was living on Long Island. He drove my car into the city. I made him circle the building because I was so afraid I was going to get like my kidneys taken. Like I thought it was a scam. It was real. I married Jamie and Doug.
Yep.
And then I married Courtney and Jason and Monet and Vaughn, who I don't know if anybody remembers them, but Monet and Vaughn. And
we'll put when we post this on the
videos.
Feed, we'll put
the videos. And the funny thing is I had applied to some jobs and I was starting a graphic design job that I went to for one day, the Monday after. And because of the way marriage license work in New York, they had to go get their marriage license after they were married. And then had to have a minister sign it. So like basically the ceremony you see on TV was not really like official.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I don't know, performative.
It was a show.
Yeah. And so they needed me, the minister, to come back after, get them to say, I do, which is the only legal part, and then sign the paperwork. I had a job starting on Monday and I couldn't do it. And I didn't want to lose the job. Again, they didn't pay me. But my dad is a registered officiant in New York too. So I sent him, shout out to dad for that one.
But dad really married Jamie and Doug.
Dad married Jamie and Doug and Courtney and Monet, Courtney and Jason, I think, or maybe just Monet and Vaughn. Somebody else like left for their ceremony early. So, but he said that he didn't think that Doug was going to do it because he was like in the bathroom forever.
But shout out to them. They listen.
Jamie and Doug, so proud of you guys. They also, my little secret from this is that they, the production team had to tell me to stop making the guys comfortable because they brought the grooms out like long before the bride, but like they wanted the anxiety, the tension, the awkwardness to build. And like my natural instinct is to make people comfortable. So I'm like chit chatting with the dudes and they're like, yeah, you gotta stop. Maybe that's why they didn't bring me back, or, you know, maybe that's why. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I'm doing that. And then simultaneous to this, my ex goes out to drinks with a mutual friend of, or his friend. And the guy said, you know, my company's looking for a graphic designer. And my ex, bless him, was like, Jenny can do that. And I'm totally self-trained graphic designer. Like, I've never had an education, as I said earlier.
Well, you did
like,
take Photoshop in high school. We were trained in Photoshop.
I don't think that really counts as graphic design.
No, but I think that other people don't know Photoshop. And you
That's true. And I didn't take photo. I learned. We had had Photoshop from the time I was 10. And right. I was teaching myself.
So and you have a very good design eye.
Thank you. Yes. And so I went in to go do... they called me and brought me in, and I met my boss. And he said, how much do they pay you to be a nanny? And I told him, and he said, okay, well, I'll pay you. I think he said like $5 an hour, more than that. And I didn't really know what the company did at the time. Mm. What they did was event technology. So they built like apps and events and activations for large corporate, mostly pharmaceutical events at the time. They branched out into other stuff later. And I loved it. Honestly, I loved it. First of all, I was only going to, I was part-time at first, and then ended up happening was that I was on calls while I was nannying, and I was like, these girls already have a working mom. Like, they don't need somebody else like doing this. So I started that job in April. By July, they wanted me to travel for work and to travel to Vegas. So I quit my nanny job to pursue this other job. And those first few months were like, I was literally going to Vegas for a week, coming back on the red eye, sleeping at our dad's apartment, running out to a Central Park, like elopement, coming back, sleeping, running out to like a sunrise Central Park elopement, getting back on a plane and going like to Chicago or DC or something like that. It was crazy. And like at some point you have to stop doing that. So I stopped offering my services as much. And actually the funny thing is there once was a wedding that came up that I couldn't do, but my boss was a registered officiant. So he went and did it. And I really like, I loved that job. I was, I, for the first time in my life, felt like I was with kind of people that were like me, that were like nerdy and like very online. I, for whatever reason, I don't attract online friends. Like, so all of my really close friends are like perpetually offline people. And I'm a perpetually online person. And so I loved it. And I really threw myself into it, and I had not a fucking boundary. I was answering emails at night. I was answering emails whenever.
Yeah.
And which was really unhealthy.
Talked about this
really,
on Danny's episode, right?
We did. I mean, we talked about this on Danny's episode. Like, it was so unhealthy. And like my boss would then like be like, you have to have boundaries. So then I wouldn't answer his email, but then that was the email I was supposed to, like, I never could get it right. And he and I had a very like close relationship, but that wasn't healthy either. And that sort of all comes. So I was there from 2014. It felt like a long time, but I was there.
Like, you were like, you really became like second in command there in a lot of ways.
Well, I thought I was, and and he often thought I was, and then he didn't think I was, and I was supposed to intuitively understand what I was and I wasn't, and I was supposed to intuitively understand. I was just talking about that this weekend, like that he would tell me things about how I should handle my billing, and that wasn't for other people. That was just for me, and that was confusing. And it was never clear until I was being scolded for doing the wrong thing. So I was there from 2014, April, until February, 2017. I found a new office space for us. I got us all moved into there. I loved it. And it was, and I traveled, I think I went to Vegas. I mean, I went to Vegas a bunch. I went to Chicago. Mm-hmm. I went to DC. Mm-hmm. I went to Texas,
California.
Not San Francisco. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to remember. It's hard to remember because you'll see. So until like the last 3 weeks, I loved going into my job every single day. Loved it. would stay. We'd go out to drinks with people afterwards. On Wednesdays, my ex-boss would take us out to drinks. And he would say to us, you guys are the luckiest girls in the world. Because me and my friends, Lucy and Lindsay, he'd say, I pay you to have drinks. Like, you better be billing for this time. So there was a meeting where I billed for the time after work, after hours, because we were all hourly, because he used to say that salaried was a scam. And so simultaneously, here's
you get health benefits. You didn't get health benefits.
Yeah, we could have. We had access. Yeah, I didn't. And while this is all happening, my ex got hired at the company too.
Yeah.
So we're both working
like a family. Yeah, you thought it was like a family.
Oh my God, it was my family. 100%. Yeah. I mean, still like. Yeah. I met my Melissa there. Jen was married to Tyler, who I hired. You know, Julie was dating Eric, who worked there too.
Yeah.
I like my Maria, who actually worked there after me, like Emily, Kat, like all these people. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody that's gonna be upset, but all these people were like my heart. I mean, they are my heart still. These are my close girlfriends. Yeah. And so it really that benefited the company because I was never gonna let Kat struggle. I was never gonna let Melissa fall. You know, like I was always gonna like if they needed me at 2 a.m, I was gonna be there. So I'm starting to like have some complications. I sort of moved up at a role that I wasn't really given any direction in. There was conversations about when we were going to be converting from hourly to salaried and how that was going to happen. I was told my salary was going to get cut because that happens sometimes when people go from hourly to salaried, which is not the application that he thought he was talking about.
Yeah.
And so, cause I was already working 40 hours plus a week, honestly, it would have benefited him if I had gone to salaried. And he got very upset with me for billing these hours. And there was a confrontation that was, I feel very inappropriate. While I was on the subway and my ex came home. This was February 13th and I was hysterically crying and updating my resume. And he's like, what is happening? And I was like, I can't work here anymore. And he was like, okay. And he, and to his credit, and I've said this before, very balanced person. He was like, play it out.
Yeah.
Get your ducks in a row, get your resume, start applying. And I was like, okay. And I went in the next day and I was told that the job that I had just been promoted to 10 days previous was not working out. And that, I could take my old position and my old pay, which the pay bump came unrelated to the new position.
Yeah.
And I could take my old position, my old pay, if that worked for me, but it wasn't a demotion.
Right.
And I said, well, I have to think about that. Cause I'm thinking, I'm just going to play it out. I'm not going to make any choices right now. And then I had to go to a meeting. He and I had to go to a meeting together. And I tried to leave without him and he wouldn't let me leave without him. I was like, okay. So we walk out and he said, okay, well, what do you think about the offer I made you? I think what I said to him first was, oh, I didn't know that we were making offers. I've got to go think about mine. And I walked out of his office. Then we go to leave for this meeting. And he says, what do you think about the offer? And I said, well, if those are the terms of me saying that I'm going to have to step away from the company. And he goes, okay, well, I guess you don't have to come to this meeting. And I left and I walked out and I couldn't believe it because I built my whole, first of all, I had an apartment to pay for, you know, like a rent to pay for. And I built my identity around this company. I mean, I loved that company and I like stood for that company and I hired so many people. Oh, Lucy, of course, my Lucy, like I hired Lucy and like, I brought so many people in and like, I just loved it there.
Yeah.
My heart was broken and for a very long time. So I went off and I applied for more jobs and I pretty quickly got a job working in the wedding industry at a wedding invitations company that was just,
you know, that the day that you left that job, I bought the website from Arch Lion Media and I begged, I was like, I don't, you probably don't remember, but I was like, please just come work for me. And you were like, I'm not ready to come work for you yet. And then I
needed money. I mean, I had rent. Like, I know. So I went and I worked at this other company that I won't tell the name of, but it wedding
it's invitation. It's a very well known wedding invitation.
Very well known, very high end wedding invitation company. And honestly, I had the best manager there. Yeah. I had Lindsay, who, like, shout out to Lindsay. She taught me so much that I hadn't been taught at the old company about how to write an email. Like,
boundaries.
You want to, like, boundary. Well, first of all, I was like, I am in at 9, not 8:59, 9 a.m. And yep. I take my hour for lunch and I am out at 6 o'clock. And I did not give a shit that I was the only one leaving at 6 o'clock and that the owner was giving me looks. I did not care. I was like, I'm not doing this again. But Lindsay taught me how to write an email so you corner somebody into answering the question.
Yeah.
Taught me how to when to respond to emails, how to respond to emails, like all these things that like nobody had ever taught me. And they're not instinctive. And for the first, I loved it. I think the first month she said, every email that you write, I'm going to approve first. Mm-hmm. And I was like, she was like, I know that's like a little infantilizing. I was like, no, I love it. It means I can't mess up because you're checking my work.
Yeah.
Within 2 weeks before I even started doing the account management there, I knew I completely hated it. I was like the first 2 weeks of me being there, I just helped do QC, which I actually loved. It's like going through the invitations and making sure there's no issues.
Yeah.
And I hated it. It was literally, Olivia was looking at the pieces of paper and making sure there's no nicks. Like it was like not even editing. It was so simple.
Yeah.
And chatting with the girls that work in the QC department. And I loved it. And every day, I did not want to get off the subway. And every day when I would leave for lunch, I would call my dad and sob and say, I hate it here so much. Mm-hmm. So I basically waited.
They had weird energy. They had very weird energy. Horrible. Yeah.
So I waited until it was like Lindsay
as
was
much
like,
of the wedding industry.
Yes. As Lindsay was like, at 3 months, we're going to start doing one-on-ones. Once the one-on-one started, I was like, I want you to know that I'm leaving. Mm. And she was like, very much understood. So I left there and I didn't know what I was doing. I almost got a job at Unbound, which is a sex toy company, but they say they had a restructure. I don't know. Maybe they just didn't like me, but it was an event. So I was very excited about. And that was really, I had been applying for a while and I finally got this position that I really was excited about. And then they pulled it. And I was like, I'm done. I got to stop.
Yeah.
And right around that time, my old boss reached out and said, do you want to come back and do some freelance work? And it had been enough time. And so I came back and I did freelance work. And I did this big project with Melissa as like the lead PM, my Melissa as the lead PM. And they had a technical director on that job, this guy, Eric, who is like one of my like big 10 people in my life of like people that I adore.
Yeah.
And Eric and I worked closely together because of the nature of our jobs. And he and I ended up, the job was in Chicago and we ended up in Chicago. We had met in person like once or twice, but like we hadn't really spent much time together. And we were the first two people in Chicago. And he was like, you know, I'm freelance. I used to not be. And like, I can show you how to do this. And like, I can help you out. And like, we can work together. And, we did. And we produced two BlizzCons together, HPE Discover, a bunch of other events and then the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so I was on the road. There was one, June, 2019, I was in Vegas the entire month of June between I did Subaru. And then I left that hotel and did HP Discover with Eric. By the time I left Vegas, I think I had a serious vitamin D deficiency. Like I hadn't been outside basically in 21 days. I loved it. I loved flying to Anaheim with him. He is like, if you ever want to like get like tips on like how to treat your employees, like he supplies the best meals for people at the end of every BlizzCon. He would get us all hour long massages.
Yeah.
Like it would, and then so go out to dinner. Like Eric and Curtis and that whole team and Sarah and like, honestly, like Jason and Jessica, who I met while I was doing that show. Like these are people that are like so dear to me. And like, that's the hardest part of leaving the industry is I don't get to go to summer camp anymore and go to BlizzCon. But
we talked about this with Danny, right? With like with the Olympics.
We talked about this with Danny. Like, like I don't get to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm so sad.
Yeah.
And Eric has been trying to fill that role that like I like provided. And like, I learned so much about managing teams. I learned so much about that. So I did that. And then the pandemic hit and then we were doing virtual work and still Eric was like sending me a budget so I could send everybody on the team snacks. So I worked with him and then I was very sad to say like, I can't do this anymore. This is not the part of the show that I love. I love the summer camp energy. And then I started working with Olivia and that's been an awful, like, honestly, I mean, if we were just going to talk about it, no, but so that's the twists and turns and
Like you came into, well, it was Howell Media House at the time, and you came in and completely restructured and reorganized and organized.
Well,
you know.
the benefit of Olivia and I is we have completely different backgrounds. We have completely different strengths. So I come at it. Olivia is we're both really good writers, but Olivia knows how to do copy editing and like content writing, right? Mm-hmm. That's her main thing. She knows marketing. She knows PR. She's so good at networking in a way that I'm just not. And I have a math brain and a graphic brain, an art brain. So it's like
architectural
these two things,
brain.
An architectural brain. And I also have all of this experience in like corporate management and knowing, and I've hired people, I've fired people, mm-hmm. I've managed teams of 50 people before, I've, you know, set up production offices. Like I understand what people need. I understand how to take care of them. I understand how to speak to them. I understand mm-hmm. what you can and can't permit. I understand contracts. So it's these two very different sides that we bring to the table. And we're very grateful. I'm so lucky to
like,
work with
you
my
know,
sister.
We also had our blog. So, mm-hmm. you know, which
I mean, this doesn't even cover all the
things
we
like,
did together.
You know, the things we've done so much together, just really quickly, like down the line, like we've always had this entrepreneurial spirit, right? So like we had a greeting card, our handmade greeting card company, March Lion Inc., which mm-hmm. our mother named, because my middle name is March and I'm a Pisces and Jenny is a Leo, right? So she's a lion. And we were 5 and 7 years old selling greeting cards that, again, mm-hmm. our sponsors, our patrons, our grandmother and our mother would buy us all the supplies.
Yes.
And we would sell greeting cards and, you know, like, pretty kick-ass that our parents were like, go do this thing. Like,
yeah, mom definitely encouraged it.
And then we, let's see, I sold t-shirts online.
We both sold t-shirts, but you were more successful.
Yeah. Well, you've sold a lot of stuff on Society 6, but I sold I sold t-shirts through college and I made about $10,000 doing that I put towards my wedding. Yeah. And I should have saved it for something else. It still trickles in sometimes.
Yeah.
And then what else? Oh, and then we had our blog. So in 2009, we started this blog, mm-hmm. Lovely at Your Side, which our grandmother named. And mm-hmm. we sat at her table and we said, we really want to do something creative. This was when Blogspot was just kind of starting.
It was when Blogspot was the major thing, right?
Blogspot, there was nobody blogging at the time. And I think it was Kelly Oxford and Jordan Reed and Julia Allison. There was nobody blogging. And we wanted to do a blog that, you know, really showed the beautiful side of Long Island, because there's so many amazing small shops and gorgeous things to do here. And so we started blogging and we started really, this was at the height of the first taste of what sponsorships could look like and what, you know, all the power of the blog. We had lots of comments, we had followers, that we had people mm-hmm. we're still friends with.
Yeah, Bonnie, yeah.
And,
right?
And it's like me, that's how, and like all of these,
Sammy,
you know?
And like, well, one of the things that we did on there was that we said, for Valentine's Day, if you want a Valentine's Day card, we'll send you one. And Thomas, who I had just barely knew, reached out and said, okay, I'll get a Valentine's Day card. Yeah. And so years later, he found it like this past, found it in 2021, when I had just gotten single, he found the Valentine's Day card and sent it to me, a picture of it. So like we made a lot of serious connections.
We did. And we started getting some sponsorships. We got, you know, different companies would send us products and we were really, we did it for about 6 years or so.
Yeah, until 2015.
Yeah, and then we had this thing happen where GoDaddy, like the...
I had thought I moved the URL the away domain from GoDaddy, but...
Somebody stole it, essentially. Somebody took the domain out from under us, which was like a death in our family for us.
It was awful.
It was a horrible, horrible experience.
It was mortifying.
Yeah, it was horrible. I remember you calling me screaming and crying, and it was really, really sad. And we tried to pick up the pieces, and it just wasn't the time and place. But again, everything we learned there is what we do here at Fresh Starts, and what we've done with March Lion Media, and what we learned. And those are connections that we still have. Those, that's our original hype team of people, you know.
Allie Plant was guest contributor.
Emma Tomash worked with us. She was like 17 at the time. She's one of our biggest hype people. Allie Plant was, she did the Cohabitable.
I love that.
we featured a ton of small businesses. My friend Becky Hart, you know, so
we promoted, I remember Sarah Robinson's was running like a marathon, and
a lot of features on different parents and mm-hmm. books, and book reviews. I did tons of book reviews back then. Mm-hmm. So it was an awesome time. And that was really the first taste of us looking at each other, I think, going, we really love working together. And like, how can we really make money off of this? And how can we support other people, right? We really loved supporting small businesses and taking pictures of the small businesses if they let us. And, you know, writing about them.
And,
yeah, telling people about them. And really like early marketing. You know, we've just always loved working together. We get a lot of questions. I get questions, at least. People are like, what's it like working with your sister?
People don't talk to me.
Oh,
nobody talks to me.
That's so sad.
No, it's fine. I mean, it's not really fine, but people don't ask me questions.
More and more like, they are.
No, it's funny. It's funny because I think that for whatever reason, well, the community that you've created around yourself is much more online than the community that I've created.
That's because it goes back to the fact that I fucking hate leaving the house.
Yeah. Well, and I think I lost a lot of community when I broke up with my ex.
So. Yeah. Well, that's a whole other episode. Mm-hmm. Whole other pod. But, you know, we've taken these people now. We've known some of these people for 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. 20 years. We've seen mm-hmm. these people grow up. I mean, mm-hmm. and it's amazing to, like, be, you know, cheering them on and to have them, you mm-hmm. know, really, you, well, that's a whole, we'll talk about the online friendships and world and that another episode. But anyway, so we're all about fresh starts and careers. Jenny's superpower is quitting. Right.
It's quitting. Yeah. Well, I say my superpower is knowing when to leave a party.
Yeah.
So everything's a party if you think about it. Relationships.
Everything's
jobs,
a party.
Everything's a party.
That's what we believe in Fresh Stars.
Knowing when to leave. And I'm happy to help you if you like, we're really here. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we love talking to people. And as I've addressed, nobody talks to me. So if you want to talk to somebody, I'm always looking for someone to talk to, and I'm up at odd hours. So you know, we love helping people. And mm-hmm. we love helping people figure out where they're supposed to be. And I think that we're both very good at finding people's talents.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should do like an open office hours hotline one day. Just like come ask questions for us. Like,
I love that.
Anyway, so if you are somebody that is thinking about leaving a job, starting fresh, like, you know, taking a chance, we're here to help you. And if we can't mm-hmm. help you, guess what? We have a lot of experts that are here to help you through things. We have mm-hmm. The expert resource guide, business coaches, amazing resume coaches, life coaches, mm-hmm. mindset coaches, business lawyers that will help you set up your business. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're here for the long haul to help everybody through everything.
Anyway, we're proud of you. And we love you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for staying. If you made it this far, we're just glad you're here.
Thank you for listening to today's story. We're always here and we're proud of you. Until next time, brave one.
A Fresh Story is brought to you by Fresh Starts Registry, the first and only platform for everything you need to start again. You can read the show notes and learn more about today's episode at freshstartsregistry.com/podcast.